We'll give up a free patron space for a month. I'm just making this up, but we can. We'll give up a free patron space for a month if you guess what country Brian's going to be in the next episode.
I think it's Switzerland said it today. Out loud, right?
Today was Switzerland, right?
But it's going to be two more countries later by the next episode, so we'll see.
Have you ever wondered why it is that we do what we do and who we do it with? Then this is a podcast for you. An exploration of human beings through systemic psychology and Unani biotypes. With Rodrigo Garcia Plates, Ross Everett, and Brian McElhaney. This is Biotypical.
I felt so alive at Edinburgh Fringe Festival and so joyous. And I was thinking about how much joy, since I did it a year ago, I felt the healthiest probably in my adult life this past year doing these festivals. And then I was just watching a thing on Netflix. You guys see this? A documentary that just came out about the Blue Zones. Those five places.
I love Blue Zones.
Okay. What the hell are you talking about? What is that?
It's not quite Fringe, but Fringe is walking in the direction of what these Blue Zones are. Blue Zones are, there's five places around the planet where people live to be 100 years old often.
Like, please tell me Merida is one of them.
No, it is Ikaria, Greece. It is Okinawa, Japan. It is Sardinia, Italy. It is Palo Loma, California, and it is some other, Costa Rica.
It's Loma Linda, California.
Loma Linda, Palo Doma, Pingabunga, California. And this guy goes, I mean, it's on Netflix, I'm on the front page right now. He goes to each of them and he's like, what is your guys' lifestyle? What do you do? What's it all about? And he finds a lot of common threads between these communities. And it's just like, it's really inspiring to watch, like to see these people and like what they do to live to be 100 years old. And a lot of like what I think I was feeling at the Fringe was a high octane party version of it. But The idea of purpose and community and, you know, living, you know, they talk about Ikigai in that one, in the one in Japan, the one in Sardinia. It's all about like all these old people like have these purposes every day. They create communities. They don't let their old people go anywhere and go out to homes. They kind
Are
of
they
like
wine country.
Yeah. I mean, the one in Greece, they're like, what's the secret to longevity? They're like wine.
Yeah, but it's like, no, for real. Like, that's always there in the studies.
But it's like natural wine. Like all their foods are very like everyone eats very mostly plant based, and they drink with they drink like, but like they eat and drink things that they've made and not over processed. And the one in California is really interesting because it's the Seventh Day Adventist. That's the only one of the four that doesn't drink alcohol, and it's a Christian community in California. And that's one that has nothing to do with genetics. It's just like people come and join this church. And when they live there, this church is really focused on nutrition and exercise and Woo! Having a community. And it's like, they just like, you see all these people
in
their
night, churches like that.
waking up together and going swimming together and doing push-ups and eating good food and going in like to church together. It's like all of these seem to have the same staple of strong community, strong purpose in life, sticking together as you get older, like eating good food, but like doing it communally. A lot of like drinking and laughing and talking and partying into the night and like, you know, in like these like nice little modest versions of it. But it's really great because it's like you watch it and you just go, oh, yeah, this it kind of makes intuitive sense when you watch it. I think that's why I've been loving these festivals is, like I said, again, the festival is the kind of, you know, the high octane, crazy party version of it. But it is more in the direction of that lifestyle than my sort of lonely, fractured life in Los Angeles, where we all live so separately, and we're all kind of like really on the grind of, you know, succeeding, and everyone's kind of out for themselves. You know, coming to a place where you can just be a part of a community, and everyone has a purpose every day, which is to be helpful to each other, and we all have these things that we do. Everything is done communally, and you don't have time to sit in your own worries or sit by yourself and become depressed or think too much about your own life over someone else. It's just important to do. I would love to find a way to create that lifestyle in a more sustainable way instead of just having to go to these like specific places every few months and doing it in crazy ways. But like having it in a way that's like, you know, you can, it can be sustainable for the rest of your life. Also, Reed came and joined me at Fringe, which was a really great surprise.
I love that. What makes me really happy about what you're saying is that I'm becoming a part of something like that in Merida.
I think you naturally kind of gravitate towards being that kind of person, Rodrigo.
I do, but the interesting thing is, this is going to sound weird, but I'm used to being the like head of my movement. I'm used to being like the face of the operation. And right now, I'm surrounded with a lot of men that are exactly that have their own communities and have their own businesses, and we kind of just join together, and we're always talking about nutrition. We're always talking about the world. We're taking cold plunges every morning. I still need to step into the yoga classes and all the calisthenics that they're doing every morning, which I want to. But it's literally creating a society where everybody's losing weight, everybody is getting their life in order. We talk about finances a lot. We talk about being an entrepreneur and being at the top of your game all the time. We demand excellence from each other. Like I'm becoming a part of this accountable group of people, and I freaking love it. Like, that's, it's awesome. Great.
They talk about that. Positive accountability is contagious. Like,
oh yes,
it's really hard. Think about, like, in America, it's like, how many gym memberships go unused? How many people start diets last for a month? It's like, well, if you get a group of people and you're all kind of that community together, you're way more likely to stay. Also, it's like literally all those people, all these communities, they're like getting together and hanging out and laughing together and just kind of like shooting the shit. They're like, this is a very important part of our lifestyle. And I'm like, that's pretty
healthy,
cool.
Man.
That's why I love game nights.
Yeah.
That's really why I love.
We need a game night next week.
You know what? We can do it next week.
Let's
do it next week.
Be back for 2 weeks, guys.
And I'm going to be in Europe for 3 weeks, and you're not going to be there, Brian. Are you running away from me all the time? Wherever I go, Brian leaves.
I know. Don't let him know. Where in the world is Brian San Diego? I wish you could have seen Julia's clown show. Reed, I wish you had seen this clown show, too. Oh, my God. The one that was like the Psycho Magic Axe? Fucking incredible. Oh, it was...
You gotta give context for the audience.
You
sent us a message in our private group chat, and before, you're referencing it everyone was there.
Before we give the context for this, because all of our patrons and listeners are not in our group chat, but I just want to say something. Yesterday I was thinking of you, Brian, and what I was thinking is this: every therapist in the world, and I don't know if I should reveal this, but every therapist in the world deserves to work with someone like Reed. For real.
Yeah, like, amazing.
Reed, he is such a beautiful human being. And
Reed, come on camera and on microphone. I know you're in the patron section right now.
His growth is so inspiring, and his commitment to his growth. Like, how he's polishing everything in his life little by little and making sense of it. I wish everybody had that commitment to, like, who they are and what they're building. And Reed, I love you.
That is very sweet. Thank you for saying that. And I know you mean it.
It's very true. And yesterday I was thinking, like, I'm so happy that we have the podcast. I am so happy that I met Brian. And I am so happy that through Brian I met you, my friend. For real.
Well, thank you, man. And likewise, I'm glad. Yeah. Couldn't imagine my life without, all of you guys in it.
We love you. This is the most feminine episode, like, of Biotypical.
Taking courses about, how to grow their business, or cholerics taking, like, how to grow their wealth. Like, that's the things that I see most cholerics investing in, like, Gary Vee courses or Grant Cardone, like, large audience of cholerics of hustle, get the coin. In general, results is more than your bank account. Results is more than your finance sheet. Reed, it's been really freaking cool to see you take, your choleric temperament and apply it to a holistic life well lived.
I was going to say, I wish, and well, I don't think most cholerics see it that way. And I wish there was a way to, maybe Rodrigo, you've got the answer here, but
I was about to try
a way to explain to them, like, to frame it in the results mindset of, you can get personal results too. It doesn't all have to be about money and about business success. And that, I think that just gets lost. And I think I have this theory. I have no idea if this is correct or not, but that cholerics almost like need to learn how to be people at a very young age. And I know everyone obviously learns how to be people, but
that sounds horrible, but it's so accurate.
But like, we, if we're not, and if we're not taught at a young age, like how to like understand that other people are not like us, and you know, the whole concept of emotions and all that, like, I feel like you can just go through life just like, I can totally picture it. Like that didn't happen to me, thankfully, but I can totally see how people could, other cholerics could go through that and just not even think about that because it was never brought to their attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like with choleric children, what we would need to do is first somehow make relationships an area of interest. They need to see the value in it. Like they need to see what they can create through it. And then right after that, once that area of interest is open, being able to say, you can hack this too. And you can create amazing things through these relationships. And your personal success relies on this in a massive way. And having a family that functions and is not bothering you. Having a relationship that functions instead of getting in the way. Having like friendships that keep you accountable with the results that you're here to create. Because I've always seen that once cholerics notice that relationships is just a way to kind of supercharge your ability to create results. That's where they go like, okay, I need to know everything about this and I'm going to be an expert. That's how you trigger their interest.
Yeah. It just has to be reframed in a way that, I guess you do the same thing with every biotype. It has to be framed in the way that they'll get it. But I think cholerics is just a little harder just because of the way we are and the way that, you know, our, I guess,
it's funny, if I send messages like that in my social media in Spanish right now, it's not cholerics that respond, it's false fires. It's all the false fire women going like, yes, relationships matter. And I go like, but you already knew that. You're phlegmatic. Like, of course this makes sense to you. I'm trying to speak to another audience.
It is
Reed, I'd love to know your firsthand account of like, first of all, like what was the result that you got that made you go, okay, I need to start approaching it in this way? And also what has transformed in your life? From your perspective, I'd like to know what your life looks like now versus like when you started doing this work on yourself.
I'll answer the second one first. It's funny thinking back. I think about this a lot. It's hard to picture who I was 2.5 years ago. Because that's not my normal anymore. And so there's so many things that I'll think about, like, oh yeah, I used to feel like this, or I used to worry about this, and that's just not there. And it's funny how it just disappears. To go back,
it feels like an old dream that you can't really relate to anymore.
Yeah. But I also, I was thinking about this like an hour ago. My old therapist told me, oh, you've got ADHD. And
even everyone in our generation is diagnosed with that.
Everyone.
Yes. And every Gen Zer has anxiety.
And we're canceled.
Well, they do. So I thought I had ADHD and all the symptoms. I mean, it definitely made sense. The symptoms lined up and, you know, was accurate. But after, you know, I did BYB, I feel like all those symptoms kind of went away. And I thought, oh, you know, that was just reading symptoms and not actually digging to the bottom of what it is, which I feel like, you know, not to rag on the United States, but I'm sure other places do this too, but we love to treat symptoms and just look at the surface level thing instead of going.
No one like you guys. No one like you guys. I've been in the health system in different countries, and your health like system in general is made to treat the symptom and get you off the line.
Yeah, I mean ADHD is such a crazy one too, because you look at the symptoms of that, and there could be so many reasons in your life why you feel unfocused and a little bit, your attention's off, and you're a bit hyperactive, and you're a bit anxious or whatever. That's such broad symptoms. That could be so many things, from psychological to emotional to chemical to, you can't just say, take this medicine. There's like, I mean, as Reed is as an example of, like, doing BYB was the medicine for it, not, you know, Prozac, whatever you're supposed to take for it.
What you're saying, Reed, is absolutely true. And the problem is we're socially addicted to normal. to whatever we decided is normal right now. And of course, they called us all like our generation, the ADD and ADHD generation. And what does it have to do? Because we're not the normal, because we didn't grow up with technology. We didn't grow up with the internet. We grew up outside. We were the last generation that grew up outside, playing with the neighbors, kicking things, like climbing trees and shit. And then what happened? The new normal became the technology. So when we were teenagers, we were all ADD and ADHD. No, we weren't. We were just active. And they were not used to that. And then what happened with Gen Z? Because Reed is absolutely right. Like, Gen Z is anxious and depressed out of their brain. Why? Because what happens if you cater a whole generation and all you talk about is their mental health and how are you feeling and what about your emotions and what about this and what about that? And are you sure this is okay? And look into yourself and look into yourself and look into yourself and create more meaning and create more meaning about who you are. Who wouldn't be anxious in that world? Like, if you're always checking on your emotions to see how you're doing instead of outwardly focused, given what you're going to create in the world, which is how we all get out of it, what's going to happen? You're constantly going to wake up and go like, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Something inside of me is not okay. Yeah, that's how we all feel when we wake up. And then we just get on with our lives. We push it. And by the time you realize it, you feel amazing because you're not looking into your experience to realize where you are in life. You're looking at your life. You're looking at your relationships. You're looking at your results. And suddenly everything inside of you works. This is like the backbone of behavioral therapy. And I have no idea how we pretend not to know this. But hey, humanity's good at pretending like we don't know shit.
I think nowadays, too, people are... It's so quick to just, we've got like a label for everything, a diagnosis for, you know, for the symptoms. Yeah. I mean, anxiety is such a wide net too. Like, it covers so many different things, and I've got anxiety, or I've got, you know, insert random diagnosis. It's crazy. How
anxiety is nothing but your body being filled with energy and you not knowing how to relax it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a lit up limbic system going crazy because you don't know how to talk it down. And you're supposed to develop your neocortex and your prefrontal cortex in order to speak to your limbic system and go like, yeah, there's nothing like weird happening right now. Let's just breathe and you'll be fine. That's it.
It is interesting when I do, because I do meditate, and when I do feel really anxious, I'm like, God, I want to meditate. I should meditate right now, but I know it's not going to help because, like, what is that? Whatever, I'll do it anyway. By the end of that 20 minutes, sometimes I'm like,
yeah.
I'm fine for hours. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
That's because better you just recalibrated your limbic system.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And if you guys don't know how to meditate and want to have this experience, cold plunges, baby.
Cold plunges. In New York, I go to this place where you go into the hottest room you've ever been in your whole fucking life. Then you cold plunge and you go back and forth. It's hell, but you feel alive.
We could do that while you're here, bro. There's a spa that has cold plunges.
Let's do it, baby.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already doing it like for 6-7 minutes every morning.
Wow. Ooh, how cold is your cold plunge?
Like 33 degrees.
Okay. I'll see. I know at the Korean spa, they have a cold pool. And then at Paws, which is like a float tank. Have you ever done a float tank?
No, I've heard amazing things about them.
Okay. I want to actually use this as an opportunity to bring on Angel, because Angel just sent me a message in the chat that he wants. He has kind of like a question around this, but we're going to get into psychedelics.
Let's go over it.
All right, Angel,
come on. We love you, Angel. Welcome back, my friend.
My gosh.
Dude, that haircut looks amazing.
Remember that long hair? What was I thinking? Jesus Christ.
Dude, you look great. You went from an 8 to a 10.
I know, it's not. Oh, man, this is a classic Sanguine. I've been up with Sanguine, and I live for that stuff because I love
it. It was like you're about to walk us through like a World of Warcraft scenario right now.
So I know. I don't live in Jersey. I live in Cali, for those that don't know. And I left everything back there. I just kind of took a few things and left. So this is my gaming headset, but it's the only mic that sounds really good. So here I am. So don't mind these big old headphones.
That was great.
Yeah. So thank you guys. I really miss you guys. And I remember telling Ross, the last time I was on, I was like, whenever the feeling comes to get on, like, I'll always see the email that there's a live recording today and I'll just know. And that happened this morning. I was like, okay, I got to do it. 'Cause 2 days ago I did something really cool. And I'm really excited to share it. So I've been having this heaviness on my heart for quite some time. And I knew with all the work I've done with RGP and everything, I knew there was something in there, and it comes from a point, a time, but I couldn't pinpoint when it happened, and it revolved around my self-worth. So after being in Cali for 6 months, I met some great people doing my travel nurse gig, whatever.
We have to talk. By the way, I'm going to connect with you offline because I have a triplex and I'm renting out my units to travel nurses. So
So
I'm going to be the first one.
Okay. Rodrigo's going to be my first travel nurse.
Stop.
But
dude,
literally, yeah.
I'm going to blow your mind after because my contract expires on the 30th of September and I don't know where I was going to go next. So this is
Los Angeles and I've got your unit.
Stop. I'm so excited. Okay. We'll talk.
Yeah.
And he's going to have like EV charging and everything.
Yeah. I'm actually a charge nurse in the ER where I'm at right now. And my homie who I met, she's in UCLA right now. She's like, come out, I can get you a gig. And I was like, okay, I just don't know where I'm going to live. But
This is all working out, dude. That is incredible.
This is so cool. I love it. Synchronicities. This is definitely the shrooms because ever since everything's just kind of been flowing. All right. So 2 days ago, I went to this place called Torrey Pines, and I met with someone. I'm not going to disclose who they were. They wanted me to keep it private, but they were a brilliant, brilliant human being. Surprisingly, they actually know about biotypes because the night before, nice. I was talking about biotypes, and they were like, wait a minute. Do they have a podcast? And I'm like, yeah. Is it the three guys? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. How do you know about this? And so she was like, I know. They were like, oh my God, I can't wait to learn more. And I'm like, well, if they ever do a live one again, we will go see them like live and actually do it. So that's something I told them about. But anyways.
Incentive.
Yes. Because I've been low-key waiting for you guys to do a live one because I wanted just to show up and surprise. But you guys know what's going on. So anyways, they're phlegmatic. And I was actually one of their first people they actually guide through the trip because they didn't participate in it. They just wanted to give me 6 hours of their time. And you guys know how important that is to a sanguine, like for someone to say, wow, you're giving me your time. And what an experience.
I am special.
Yeah, I felt it took me a while to feel that because like when the shrooms started kicking in, the ego just gets into the spotlight. And I had asked Ross, I was like, is it a different experience for everyone depending on their biotype? Because for me, when I finally was coming up on the shrooms, I felt like I was a third person inside this body, but I was in a video game. And I was like, this person that's guiding me is an NPC. And an NPC is like a non-playable character in the video games that guide you. And I'm like, I want a side quest. I want a mission. I'm in a video game right now. And I was like, this is really cool. My body felt so heavy. And everything, I could see every ant on the ground. I was like, this is really fucking insane. But
the insects so well. It's nuts.
Yeah, because I sat down for a moment and I saw just one. And then suddenly I could see all of them. And I was like, holy shit. Like, why do I see all these things? And I wasn't trying. They were just all there. And then I was just, you know, they say that the trees breathe and the plants breathe and everything. Yep. And I was like, okay, I know what they mean now. But it was so strange because I don't know if it has to do with our upbringing and the traumatic childhood and that hyper awareness, because I was completely aware of what was happening, where I can go in and out of dissociation at will. And so that my nurse instinct kept kicking in, like, it's really hot, I should probably stay hydrated. But then I would dissociate again and just sit there. And I'd come back out, I'm like, are you okay? And I kept checking on them. Like, my subconscious was, my ego was like front and center. All the insecurities came out. I was like, this is so wicked, bro. Yeah. It was so weird.
It takes you where you need to go.
Yeah, and I did go in with an intention and I did find the answer, and it was not what I expected it to be. I don't know if you want me to talk about it, but it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew it revolved around my self-worth, and the whole thing happened in stages. And the funny thing is the guide didn't really plan this out. It just kind of happened the way it did, from starting the hike to getting to the rest stops and then getting to the part where I was like, the subconscious and ego came out. That was the first thing that happened. And there was a point where we reached like these bushes and they were like, do you want to go explore? And I was like, by myself? I'm a little nervous. Maybe not just yet. So we went up to another stop. I sat there and I was contemplating everything. I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to go. And so again, that video game mindset, I was like, you must be like Yoda sending me in. Like, he sent Luke into that cave. Those bushes gotta be the cave. So I went into the bushes and I was like, I'm not going to be long because I'll probably get lost in there. So I get in there and I get like halfway through to that where that trail was. And I just stop at a tree and I put my arm in a tree and I'm like, okay, there's something heavy in my heart. There's someone's on my mind. I can't get him out. It was a recent relationship I was in. And I was trying to figure out where that heaviness came from. And it was like something just didn't say anything, but I just knew where something said basically like, you need to lay down and you need to dissociate for a minute so you can get your answer. So 3 minutes later, I popped out of the bush. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And I was like, I know what I need to do. I need to go dissociate somewhere. So that's when they were like, okay, I know what you need. They took me to the car because it was really hot and we needed to stay hydrated. And then they put the music on. And that's where things got really trippy because I was sitting next to them and I was so hyper aware of everything. And I kept like looking at that. Like it was almost weird because I wanted to like close my eyes and enjoy the experience and smile, but I was worried that they were looking at me enjoying the experience. So I kept coming out of the dissociation and being the phlegmatic that they are, they had to stop and say, look, this is, I'm used to being there for people and supporting them and guiding them. And I just want you to know this is a safe space and you can go, you can dissociate, it's okay. And it took me a couple of tries to finally do that. And like at one point I finally closed my eyes and I said, this is a weird request, but can I have your hand? And so I grabbed their hand and I was squeezing really hard at first, but then it started to feel safe. And I didn't realize that at first that what I just needed was a little bit of safety. And when I finally like let my let go of the grip, they kept holding on to me and I could just feel myself like disapparate into like millions of dust particles. But what I saw was really cool. It was I witnessed my ego and what it looked like was like millions of eyeballs in a big sphere looking at me. And I almost didn't want to look at it. I was like kind of nervous. And fast forward a little bit, basically I ended up seeing like dirt. Like I was within the ground and like millions and millions of little graves. And I didn't know what that meant at first, but then I realized that every single little grave in the ground was a spot for those eyeballs. And when I came to, I was like, when the music stopped, I kind of woke up and I was really giggly and I explained what happened. And they're like, congratulations, you just experienced ego death. And I was like, what? That's so trippy. That was like, that's why I'm so giggly right now. And they're like,
that's a sanguine response to ego death.
My ego death experience was horrifying. Like, yeah. I was like, yes.
It's not a word from Harry Potter. It's terrifying. A word from someone who grew up listening to Spanish.
I'm so happy you had such a positive experience because mine was like so averse. Like I'm like, I don't want to experience this again until I die. You know, I was like, no, thank you.
I love how Angel said that he disapparated, which is a word from Harry Potter.
In Harry Potter, you disapparate. And I felt myself turn into like millions of particles. It was the funniest thing. But I when she said, your ego's dead, I was like, damn, that's so rad. Like, fuck that thing, man. And I was like so giggly. And I was like, I gotta run. You ever watched Wolf of Wall Street when they did cocaine? He's like, I want to run. Like, we're lions, tigers, and bears. And I was like,
you are so sanguine. It's not even funny.
I'm so jealous.
It's so funny. Like, I can imagine Ross's ego death was just like him stuttering in a corner trying to figure it out.
No,
that whole like, disappearing, for me, it wasn't disappearing into particles of dust. It was like a wave, like a drop going back into a bucket of water. And like all the molecules. Well, no, it was horrifying because like I, let me tell you why. I started to lose my relationships. Right? Like I like my parents going
that's
away. Like
phlegmatic
that sort of
hell,
thing.
Baby.
Yes. And that's why I was like, I do not want this whatsoever. Like it was horrifying. I also didn't have anyone there with me to like hold my hand.
I see.
You know? But it was I remember it was like the most awful feeling I've ever had of like nothing matters. And I was like, no, I like when things matter, especially around relationships.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah, so it felt like darkness, it felt like sadness, fear, loneliness. And so to hear you explain, I'm like, oh, it was freedom, it was all these, I'm like, God bless, you know? Yeah,
thanks, man. You know, it was
a sanguine experience, baby.
That's why I was like, that's why I asked Ross, I was like, this has got to be different for everyone. Because I was just like ready to run. And so I got out the car and they were like, your inner child wants to go play, so let's go hike some more. And then the strangest thing happened. someone who it turned out that this is what the feeling was revolving around. It's actually Kara. You guys know Kara. She sent me a text regarding like a loan that we had taken out ages ago. And they were like, just asking me about it. And I was like, why are they texting me right now? You know, like what was so weird? Cause you know, if you think of like, when you look at the topic of manifestation, all that and energy and vibration and frequencies, I'm like, do they feel me? Do they know what's going on right now? Anyways, I ended up going a little further down. The guide took me to like this other spot where I was able to sit. And by this point, the view was amazing, but I wasn't so focused on the view. It was just a nice spot to just sit down and really dissociate some more. And the music continued. And they put this song where I just wanted to just dance. But I didn't need me to get up. I just closed my eyes and the music felt like it came alive. And I was just a part of the music. Like you become the vibration of the music. And I was having the time of my life just feeling it. I think I listened to it twice. And then the real lesson started. Like something played and then the emotions came to the surface. And I was like, oh, here it comes. I knew this was going to come. And basically, I ended up grieving a little bit, but what ended up coming to mind was I had moved on from I thought I had moved on from my very first relationship with Kara. For those of you who don't know who are listening, I was with Kara for a very long time. We were together for 7 years, and we did Intro to Biotypes together. We did Balancing together. And unfortunately, the relationship didn't work out. But I thought I'd moved on from that relationship, and I'll talk about how I tried to in a bit, but basically what I found was that the feelings of self-worth, the low feelings or the lack of it rather, was the fact that Kara could always see the human that I was, the very bright and loving and fun person, but I could never really see that. And she actually wrote a journal while we were dating. She gave it to me. I think it was a Christmas gift or maybe a birthday gift. And I didn't read it till a year later. By then we were already broken up, but it was her experience of what she was seeing within me and that I couldn't see it and what she was feeling. And it was like, it tore me apart. And I don't think I ever really let go of the sadness that damn, here I had this amazing gem of a person and I let them slip away, even though they always saw within me what I am now, because I've done so much work since for the past 2 years, and even moving out here was such a wonderful experience, and the growth I have experienced is incredible. And I was like, imagine if she can see me right now. So the guide just kind of like role guides you with, doesn't give you the answers. He just gives you tools and questions and you kind of bring it to the surface. And I was like, well, I think I'm still so regretful of the whole thing. And I feel like shit. I feel like a terrible person that I couldn't see it. And I thought I let it go and I did it. But that kind of lasted for a bit. And then finally, I was just able to cry and let it out and realize that, you know, even though I this all happened, I understand I'm not that person anymore. I've grown tremendously. And I said, she had asked me, the guide had asked me, like, what do you feel about her right now? Is there something, you know, do you feel like you miss her? Do you need to reach out to her? I'm like, I don't really know. She's not the same person she was anymore. And I don't even know who she is. And she wouldn't know who I am. And I wonder if it would be like meeting someone new over again. And we just talked on that for a bit. But then I was able to just finally accept, like, it's okay. Because the ego's not there yelling at you anymore, making you overthink things. And so you're just like, no, I'm not that person. And I understand and I learned from it and I can take those lessons with me and I'm okay. Like everything's okay. And I guess shrooms really bring you to the present moment. And that's what it felt like. I was just so present with nature and the sun and the water. And I was like, everything's okay. And that was like the recovery. And then I was just like having fun. I just continued the rest of the hike and just like making like all these things just started connecting so perfectly. And then I was just at peace. I'm still zen. I'm 2 days post shroom and I was like,
it's gonna take you like a month to come back.
Yeah, that's okay. Take as long as it needs, because I was like, I just want to love everybody. I've been telling everybody just like super chill, just like, you guys are okay, everything's okay, everything's good. Like really in my sanguine, just like not thinking about things, letting things flow and just like, it's all good, baby. It's all good. So
that's being an integrated sanguine.
Yeah.
When you're actually using the strength of your biotype, not to prove a point, not to get anyone's approval, not to look a certain way, but to just be there.
Yeah.
Fully present with what works in your biology. And it's, it opens this window in sanguines. I believe this is true about all sanguines that actually do work on themselves and when they have a psychedelic experience. It gives this space of calmness and presence where you don't need to do or say anything, but you're experiencing it all because you're not making a plan about how to bounce back or what to say, or that you're just there. And our experience is so open. Like, we perceive so much from the present moment, but we lose 90% of it just trying to be funny or trying to look a certain way. And when you just learn how to be quiet in that space, the amount of things that are around you that you've never seen is mind-blowing. I love that post-month. Like, if I could get that post-month from my ayahuasca trip, I would go back there all the time. Everything just made sense.
Yeah, and that's what I feel right now. Like, everything is just so zen and so perfect. And I'm trying to, like, I know the ego will always come back. So what I've been trying to do is just, like, establish healthy habits. Like, try to stay away from the old habits, kind of reprogram the subconscious a little bit so I just have a better foundation moving forward. And it's been good so far. But that's...
You're in a perfect window to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you talk about, Rodrigo, after you cry, there's, like, that 10 minutes where it's, like, mm-hmm. you're... open and you can really hear things, like, without any defenses. I feel that after, like, a good psychedelic trip, you kind of, like, there's, like, this is the time and space to, like, put in a new gear in your life to, like, okay, I am seeing that I should be living more like this, and maybe this isn't as important. And if you don't, like, take steps to, like, initiate that, pretty soon the ego will come back and your normal life will come back, and zoom, you can just go right back into your old habits. Yeah. It's this time, I think, to, like, really, like, put into action those things you learn. So when the ego naturally comes back, you are kind of, like, operating still from that place.
Yeah. I wanted to see it as, like, an old friend. So I've already started for some time now doing some work. It was a little harder because the ego was there, and it was really a battle to just ground myself and just breathe and, like, this is not really me, but it's so much easier now that it's gone. So I hope when it comes back, I can just, like, greet it as an old friend. And, like, I'm in the driver's seat now. So this is what we're going to do, and everything's going to work out just fine. So I'm hopeful that that's will be the experience of it. But what a time. I got to tell you, I highly recommend that everybody do it at least once with a proper guide and whatnot, because I think it helps you find answers to some things that you just otherwise can't find in a very busy, egoic world.
The only other place and experience that I've heard of people, like, losing their ego, Rodrigo, do you know what I'm about to say?
No.
The MITT... No, like oh. The MITT basic, there is a moment.
See, one more. Go.
What?
Oh, sorry, go ahead. I know one more place on Earth where you feel that.
Is it the top of the mountain at the end of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
That's right, yes. No, I mean, when you're sleep deprived and you walk that at dawn. No, when you see an eclipse in real life, like a full eclipse, people go fucking nuts. It's insane. You, like, become a monkey. Like, it's wild. People start screaming and crying. You see eclipse in the full path of totality, come back here and talk to me, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
I think that has to do with the type of people that Brian watches eclipses with, because I've seen a bunch of eclipses without having any of those experiences.
That's so funny. Wait, did you see a full eclipse? Like, the full in 100%?
Yeah.
And you're nuts.
It happened twice in Mexico as I was a kid. Like, they would give us shit in school to watch it.
People go fuck. Astronauts have said that it's the closest thing to what it feels like to be in space, like looking at Earth, seeing eclipse from the ground. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the
mushrooms. I love is watching the animals. Watching the animals in the middle of an eclipse.
You are the animals. You become... Let me tell you something. Rodrigo's hanging out with losers. You got to come up with a hand.
I was 7.
But it's so interesting also hearing Angel's mushroom experience, because I'm like... There's not an ounce of analyzer in this fucking guy. Like, hearing this experience, I'm like, you aren't like, what is this? What is this moment? Like, I was just thinking about the mile a minute that my brain was trying to go to keep everything contextualized, and how you were just, like, on the roller coaster enjoying everything.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I actually, there was a point where the nurse in me kicked in, and I was like, my friend was like, you're going to get nauseous any second. And then when I started thinking about it, I was like, whoa, my heart was like racing, but I didn't feel like I was going that fast, but I was going fast. And I was like, if I don't stop right now, I'm probably going to pass out. But I didn't care. I was just like, forget about it. I don't want to think about anything. Let's just go. Let's just run, you know? What a
way. I wish I had that when I was, that's a great way to be when you're on.
Sadness, baby.
So it's for all
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I've had amazing experience with like the time that I tried ayahuasca and the time that I tried peyote and all of that. There's one thing I envy. And I think of you, Brian, when I think of this all the time, because you give such specific explanations of what you see when you're in ayahuasca and when you took your trip to Latin America and all of that. And no matter what I try, I don't see anything.
And this is not an invitation for some listener to reach out and offer Rodrigo some
what do you mean
drugs.
You don't see anything?
Unless they're good. No. But.
Fuck.
You don't offer me any bad drugs, okay? I don't want any bad drugs.
Exactly. No bad drugs for this man. But what I mean is, I have this profound intellectual experience when I'm there. And a friend of mine that I was talking to Diana. She's a clinical psychologist friend of mine, and she's also a trainer, by the way. But she was the one that invited me with Bere to the ayahuasca trip, and she saw me for hours just looking at the sky and going, "Wow, wow," because things just kept clicking and clicking. But I never see anything. Like I'm always where I am, and I'm always fully present. It's just my mind starts making connections in a weird way, and I start making sense of things, and I can see my trauma. I handled it, but I was fully present the whole time. Like at some point, I was like, my trip is over, and I went to take a shower, and I was ready for bed. And then I was like, no, it's not over, and I went out to the beach again and started crying my eyes out again. But the truth is, I never fully leave. Like I'm always here.
Well, I'll say this. Ayahuasca works differently every time. So you could do it again and have a journey where you take the roller coaster into the psychedelia.
I want to. Like, I want to go there. Like, when I had peyote, because I told them that I didn't see anything, it was with the same group of people. They gave me, like, twice the dosage that they gave everyone else. And I had an amazing experience, and I learned a lot, but I was always there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mean you've never had, like, an ego death?
Nope.
All right,
because I probably don't
take
have anything to die.
Yeah, like a full ego death is like.
Let me bring you to Torrey Pines, and I'll. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't have an ego to kill anymore.
Oh, maybe. So balanced,
and that's the beginning of the end.
And I want you to think about exactly who's telling you that.
That's funny. That's when you find your wild. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's angels.
My ego told me I had no ego.
Yeah. There's a great joke. I think it's Emo Phillips or something like that that goes, the brain is the most important organ, but then I stop and think, who's telling me that?
That's a really good joke.
The brain, that's a really funny joke. The brain named itself. Isn't that wild? One of my friends who did mushrooms in Amsterdam, and he got on an airplane, like to come back to America. He's like, I knew it kicked in because I looked out the window of the airplane and the wing was doing this.
Flapping.
Freaked me out, man. But yeah, in his mind, the plane was like flapping.
I mean, that was tried. It didn't work.
I done mushroom
there were planes that did that.
Right. I done mushroom two times. The first was in a park in Amsterdam with my ex-girlfriend. And we did it to say goodbye to each other. And it was the most beautiful day of my entire life. A lot of things that you said, Angel, very similar to me. Me feeling the trees breathing. We talked about this in our podcast. Me falling in love with the trees buzzing. The other time,
Brian is actually married to a tree.
I am married to a tree. Europe. I was thinking about visiting her this trip, but I didn't get to go. The other time we did mushrooms was.
Can you imagine her holding a little acorn with Brian's face and be like, "It's about time you came back."
Yeah. That dream when I was on mushrooms in a public park. I also did it overnight at house. The guy plays.
This is the best story that you and Nick tell on stage.
Tell it on stage. I
want to know.
I've never told it publicly. This is the first time it's like out in the open that
he invited over. You're saying on stage. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, we tell people not to film it, and so it hasn't, like, gotten around. But it is a pretty amazing – I'm not going to tell the story now, but that was a very strange way to do mushrooms for my first time is me and Nick at his house.
All please tell me you were naked while holding the screaming on the roof. Please.
You know, it's buddy. Not far off from what happened by the end of the night. There's a moment that there's elements of what you just said kind of
– has Pete Holmes ever heard that story?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I would love to find a way to get Pete Holmes on this podcast just because I
just because we use his image in BYB?
Do we? Oh, we show that video. He would love that. Show
video of him
that.
Bombing, which is so funny because he's such an incredible performer. Like, he never bombs now at all, ever.
No. But no, like, he's immaculate.
He's incredible.
But the way he handled that bombing, like, and it wasn't elegant at all, but it was so authentic. Like, yeah. he like, Pete, if you're listening to this, yes, we use a video of you bombing just to prove exactly how your biotype feels because no one shows it in such an authentic way like you that day. That's what phlegmatics feel like when they put themselves in those situations. It's just perfect. Thank you for giving us such a perfect example of what phlegmatics feel like.
I just shot a text message to someone that I know has a connection to Pete Holmes. That'd be a dream guest of mine for sure.
Tell us the truth. You just Googled his phone number.
Oh boy, can you imagine how overwhelmed he'd be if that was just out there?
Yeah,
Recently, if you want to get in contact with celebrities, if you take 500 celebrities and just send an email to theirname@gmail.com, you're gonna get through to a lot of them. Like, that's just so many people. When I finally learned their email, it's like, oh, it's like mine. It's yourname@gmail.com.
You just need their name, then add a dot, and then their last name. Because totally Gmail not. Doesn't – no, but here's the thing. Gmail doesn't care about the dot. And if their email has the dot, then it's going to be sent. And if their email doesn't have the dot, it's still going to be sent.
Oh, interesting.
Boom, baby.
Put that dot in there.
Brian, you're the closest to celebrities. You should get some more celebrities on the podcast to talk to us.
What do you want?
You never get any celebrities on the podcast.
He got one. We had Minka Kelly on the podcast.
That's
Haley
true.
On the podcast. That was fun. Haley Joel.
Haley Joel Osment was on the podcast. We've had some really great celebrities.
We've had some on the amazing podcast, people. Kind of.
Yeah.
We need to get more.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a bunch of clowns. It's not that – it's
Natalie
like I want
Palamides.
To like, we got Natalie, famous. I mean, I guess in certain circles, I mean, at the Fringe, she's a clown god. I want you guys, I want Julia Mosley to come on this podcast. Her show.
Please get her. Please.
And Vigo.
And you, yeah, Vigo too. You know her.
Mortensen?
Vigo Venn is the winner of Britain's Got Talent. Like, so here's what's really interesting in my life right now, because I kind of chose a different
way. Angel, thank you for telling your story. This is
no problem. No problem. Please.
Angel,
we love
Angels,
you, Angel. And we have a local celebrity here.
but so there's an interesting point in my life that's happening right now because I kind of like two paths divulged in the woods, and I chose the one of working with Rodrigo, and for whatever reason, right, the work that I've done on myself, the desire to be on stage has kind of dissipated, and I felt like these
you're
past
old,
years of my life
old.
Has really been dedicated towards creating security, creating business, and getting those more material things that are important to me as a 35-year-old, right? And all of the clowns that I trained with, like Zach Zucker, Vigo Venn, Julia Masley, Johnny, are like now starting to get their breaks, and it's really beautiful and it's really awesome, and I feel so separate from it, and there's a part of me that's really sad about that.
I wonder because like I am now I still can't believe that I'm with this group of people that you used to be a part of, and like to me you're just so different in that life, and when I'm with them I'm like I'll mention your name and I'm just like, oh yeah, Ross, and I'm like, that's so crazy that like you were with them and like now I'm with them, and it's like it's very strange. I wonder if you watching me and these posts I do about Fest, if it makes you nostalgic.
It feels like there's a part of me, and honestly, deep down, I hope that part of me is not done. I hope that this is more of just like a detour that I'm taking to get some security in my life, and then that creative part of me will reemerge, and I'll be back on stage eventually. But watching this all happen, seeing Brian at these fringe festivals, like I have so much FOMO. Like I want to go to these clown shows at 1:30, you know, in the morning, and
we need to at some point.
We, you
know, life changing. They're fucking.
I have a belief that the phrase "at some point" is a lie. I think it's you either have it in a calendar or you don't. And
let's
like,
put it
me,
in
it's,
the calendar.
It's very binary. Yeah,
let's put it in the calendar for next year. Let's go with Brian.
When gosh. Brian says like we could bring biotypical to Fringe, like there's a part of me that lights up. Like I loved biotypical live because I got to flex that muscle within the security that we've created as biotypical. When we've talked about the biotypical TV show, this travel show idea that we've had with biotypical, like that lights me up so much because I'm like that would really be the trifecta.
Let's make the next Fringe Festival our pilot. Let's do it. Let's go there. And let's do a couple of episodes where we're just walking around reading people's biotypes.
Yeah. Oh, Walter just barked. So he's on board.
There's so many like personal shows, seeing people's shows and speaking to them about those shows and why and what they're about and what they're doing. Man, it's it's so much.
I got to go see what this dog's barking at because he's not a big barker. But, Brian, will you become our producer and start to get us a live show together?
Sure.
Not on the spot or anything.
It's also amazing watching Nick and Karen's relationship because Karen came and started performing clown with us. Wow. And it's like, wow, like here's like a married couple. And instead of Nick going off and doing this thing for a month, which could be, I've seen really put pressure on a lot of relationships. Yeah. She's come and just join it. So it's like she's part of the circus now too. And I'm like, that's so lucky to like
I want to be a part of it. All I need to know is like the date and I need to have a little conversation with my family and go like, yeah, daddy's going to be gone for a little while. But they're used to me traveling like crazy. But yeah. I'm waiting for Ross to be back because I have a couple of things to tell him about what he experiences. But before he comes back, let's speak behind his back. Do you really think his phlegmatic heart could take it?
Being a clown again.
Yes. And living that type of lifestyle.
Gotta
because be. These people that he's talking about. Okay, I'll just say it like this. I don't think Ross could live your life.
Maybe not.
We're saying horrible things about you, Ross, and you weren't around, and we're bad-mouthing you.
Be able to listen back to the podcast.
Like I'm not in charge of the producer. But what I mean is this. I understand that you feel FOMO, and I understand what that like where that comes from.
Did you just like actually analyze me while I was gone?
Yes, a little bit.
Oh, we're starting my gosh. That's so cool.
And what I was starting to say is, I don't think your phlegmatic heart could take that lifestyle.
Oh, for sure not.
I'm convinced that you couldn't. Like, I feel like if you lived like Brian for a couple of months, you would
be
massively depressed.
Yeah. I don't know if the answer is depressed, but I think I would be spent. Like, there's a reason. I went to Fringe. I did the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and I loved it. But by the time that it was done, I was ready for it to be done. And, yeah.
Yes, but you create connections. And let me put it this way. Like, if I were in charge of your mental health, which I kind of are a little bit, because I pay attention.
Calm down.
Like, I'm not, but I care about you.
Yes.
You know I love you. But what I mean is, if I were really in charge of your mental health, I would be very careful in putting you in those types of situations because I feel like you would love it. But at the same time, you would be surrounded with people that don't understand connections and relationships the way you do.
That is exactly what happened. Yeah.
I know.
Also, Brian and I connect with a very different type of person because when I went to Fringe, like I'm not a partier. I don't really do drugs. I don't really drink. Like, so I, in a certain way, isolate myself from that type of person that does. The connections that I made at Fringe were all really with phlegmatics. And it were with the people that like to have the deep one-on-one conversations, but it wasn't like, oh, we're all being weird and goofy and clowny together all the time. Like, that wasn't my speed.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted it to be my speed.
I know.
But, like, I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately. Are you familiar with Christy Carlson Romano? And I'm sure Brian might be, Rodrigo absolutely.
And Stevens?
Yes. the a child, a Disney actor, you might actually love this, Rodrigo, has had this resurgence online because she started this podcast network to essentially have child stars come out and then create their own podcast to tell their stories about what it was like to be a child star, about what the world looks like. It's fascinating. And she talks a lot about the highs of being a Disney child star and then getting discarded and then having to chase that for the rest of your life.
Oh, God. That's rough.
So as a kid, I really wanted to be a Disney Channel star. And even like with my stuff on SourceFed and all this stuff, I'm like, I kind of think I was really protected by not making it really big.
Yep.
Because I think I would have fallen in love with that high. And then the moment that I lost it, I would have been chasing that.
You would have chased it for the rest of your life.
The rest of my fucking life.
Yep.
And it's really cool to hear like these interviews of Saturday Night Live stars, right? On the Fly on the Wall podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade. Hearing, like, I'm getting this experience of hearing firsthand accounts of what it was like on Saturday Night Live to be a really big star, to not be a star. And it's like interesting because all those dreams that I had when I was younger and trying to pursue this entertainment career, I'm like, that could have been the worst thing in the world for me. And by not getting it, I actually wonder, was I incredibly protected for the rest of my life?
I think so. I honestly think so.
And I agree with that. You know, that's some of the conclusions I've been coming to because, you know, especially being famous in the 80s and the 90s when I grew up is very different from being famous now because I could not handle, with the amount that I care about what other people think of me, I could not handle being famous in today's world and getting canceled. That would destroy me.
I'm ready for it. I'm like ready to play ball.
Cancel me, baby.
Cancel me. I don't know why I have this fascination. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Let's do a social experiment and see what happens.
Do you know what I'm dying to see? Can you imagine Ross being a dad, his children being teenagers, and going like, wait, you did what?
Yeah.
You know this people? What are you talking? There's no way dad was ever a clown. What? You know what? That's going to be mind-blowing for your children.
Yeah. It's going to be very weird, like, when they get to the age where I go, oh, you want to see my YouTube videos?
Yeah.
You know? And they're old enough to watch them, you know? Yeah. It's going to be very, very
It's like weird. When Brian's children figure out that he has an OnlyFans.
They're like, those are, why is it just photos of your
friend? Mike can be like, we assumed. You freak. You do the mime rope naked. We get it. It's disgusting. what I was going to say is,
marionette porn.
Yeah, marionette porn. Marionette so bad.
But you guys aren't having sex. You just keep doffing his cap.
That's right.
Yeah.
it is like one of those things where the lifestyle. I'm not sure, Ross, if Ren should be your. Because I'm thinking about it, it's like. Let's say put all the, you know, whatever. You don't have to drug and drink. You can live a healthy lifestyle. Putting even that aside, it's a place for people who have promoting energy. You are seeing a million different people. You're popping from here to here to here. You're doing a show. You're connected with people. Then goodbye and you split.
It's a promoter orgy. The way you explain it, it's literally a promoter orgy. And I don't mean in a sexual sense. I mean in the experience.
Sometimes. Yeah. And it is. Sometimes. And it's like if you're a promoter – like that, if it gives you life, like for me, I wake up inspired. I feel happy for a month. I miss it. I love the idea of meeting a billion different people and seeing so many things and grabbing a thing over here, then taking that person over here, then losing those people and going here. It's very exciting for me to like
it's live like that. Your birthday.
It's like my birthday every day. And Ross, I could see you because there's another Filmatic we know who's on Stamptown that we're friends with. And he has a lot of issues with the guy you have issues with.
I love him. I know who you're talking about.
And I hear him talk sometimes, and he is a little bit of like, it grates on him the same way that I feel like it grates on you a little bit.
Him and I connected pretty immediately. And I even think we kind of look alike, which makes a lot of sense. And in fact, our shows.
So it's like, you guys all fit in this family.
Our shows were very similar. When I brought Stop Stopping the Unstoppable, he had a different show.
And he walks on stage and people smile. They go, oh my God, I can't wait to see.
Can we get him on the podcast? Will you reach out to him and get him on the podcast? I like, honestly, I've met this guy probably a handful of times, but I can easily say, I love him. Like, he's just, he's good people, and you get it immediately.
Do you love him more than Oz, though?
I love you differently. Thing. I love you differently.
Oh, that's a yes. That's a thematic yes.
Can I tell you guys about Julia's show?
Talk to us about it here, because you texted us about it a little bit.
There's a clown named Julia Mosley, and she came to do a work in progress, and immediately it blew up and became the show of the Fringe. There's 3,800 shows. It became it was in contender for top show. It won the best show from the comedians award she did, from the main award she didn't, but people think
who
she
won
should've.
The main awards?
I forget. I forget by Brian. It stars me talking about everyone's name I've once learned that I totally forget. Very long. Her show, she's Estonian, and she's the partner of our friend Vigo, who won America's Got Talent, or Britain's Got Talent, pardon me. And she's Estonian, so she has this accent that's very, it's, you know, it feels very gothic and old, almost Dracula-like. She comes out, and she's kind of comes out in this, like, witchy hat. And the show's called Ha 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 Ha. And her opening is very, it's called Ha 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 Ha. Her opening is very clown. She has this light on a watch. So she's lit by her arm like this. So there's just a spotlight from her arm the whole show. And we're in a dungeon at 2 a.m., right? It's like this monkey barrel. It's like this actual dungeon you're in. So you feel like you're in a secret. And the opening of the show, she goes up to people and she'll go, ha. And she'll like go to you and you go, ha, back to her. And she'll ring a bell if it's good. If you don't do it or you do it incorrectly, she'll scream at you. And like, she just sort of does that for like a good fight. It's a very classic
for
clown
2 hours.
For 2 hours. That could be a clown show, but that's not what her show is.
This is her.
I think she's male.
I was about to say she's either
those hands look male. Those
male.
Joints look male.
But Vigo's phlegmatic.
Yep.
This is Vigo. And then Julia.
Vigo could be choleric.
The kindest cleric of all time.
Those hands are big.
You know, I would be shocked if he was choleric. Actually,
there's,
you know what?
There's no fat under that skin. Look at that torso. High pecs. Slanted shoulders. Huge
Holy
hands.
Shit.
Bony
if
hands.
Vigo's
he's choleric.
Long,
that's for sure.
He has extra skin on the face. He's choleric.
Holy shit. Vigo's the kindest choleric in the entire world. And that would actually play another secret choleric.
And then, I'm obsessed with secret cholerics.
Anyway, let me tell you what the brunt of her show is. She finally gets to the point where it's kind of hard to explain. She has a like giant leg as an arm with like whatever. She holds on a microphone and she walks on the other end and she goes, problem. And puts the microphone in someone's face. And you basically say a problem you have in life. You're invited to say a problem. And then she fixes it. She fixes it in a clown way through a psychomagic clown act.
What?
And the problems can be, I have no money. The problems could be my back hurts. The problems could be I haven't come out to my two best friends. The problems could be I hate how I look. So she like kind of goes, okay, you come with me. And she creates this on the fly, some kind of theatrical piece to deal with their problems. And the show is so interesting because it's really dictated by the audience, like how much they give. You know, if someone said my back hurts in a chair, she'll bring them on stage. She'll pull out a pillow and a comforter and start giving them a massage on stage. Be like, you come here. You keep doing this rest of show. And that person's now getting a massage on the thing. Or someone has no money. She might get money from everyone to like, you know, give that person some money or something. But then it gets more like one person's when I was there, was like, I haven't come out to my two best friends from university. I mean, I know they probably know, but I've never done it. She's like, do you want to call them right now? So she brings them up and like we made this like voice, this video message for them. And like we like all as a group figured out what to say and sent it. One of the shows, one that got the 5-star review in The Guardian, someone was like, I hate my body. Like I feel very nervous showing myself. She's like, come up on stage. Do you want to get naked? And she was like, what? She's like, why don't you get naked on stage? She's like, you know, I hate my body too sometimes. I'll do it too. So Julia and this person get naked. Then they crowd surfed over the entire audience.
Wow.
And
I was
like crying by the end. It's like,
that's
she is
a psychomagic act for real.
It's psychomagic act. So it's like, and like sometimes they're hilarious. Sometimes they're small. I mean, she's really dealing with like, I turned to my friend Davey Zucker afterwards and I was like, this is the in and of itself of clown shows. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what this is. She's trying to find a way to make it so it's consistent each time, how it can become like a bulletproof show, because sometimes the audiences give her like real problems. Sometimes they're a little bit tepid. How do you create the show where it like will always, you know, feel like a cathartic show each time. And then at the end, it just ends with this beautiful ending where every time with a microphone, they've been recording everyone's voices and they play all the different problems and all. And she's asking people for advice around the audience. They play all the different pieces of advice and the problems at the end as everyone's on stage and it's all swirling together. It's like a really poignant clown piece if it's, you know, if it's a good show. And I saw one show that everyone was just in tears at the end.
You're going to be with them next week?
You what?
You're going to be with them next week?
I don't know if I'll be. I'll be with Josh next week. I don't know if it'll be with Julie. I love how.
We already have our guest next week is actually going to be Peretz Machkin. Rabbi Peretz coming back.
Well, yeah. We have a great news on Zoom, so we can always do this.
But will you reach out to them? Because I would love to get Vigo and Julia either together or separate, because it'd be kind of cool to talk about their relationship, you know, as well.
That'd be amazing.
Because like, they're such a delightful couple too.
If she can do the show that you're describing, she must be an extremely wise and profound human being. It's the only way that something like that would work.
You can tell that because she's like, she's got a look where it's like, cause she has this like witchy hat. She kind of looks like this guru. She's like, she has this very penetrating magical stare, but she's also a clown. So she'll get goofy, but then she'll be it's great. She'll be like the dominant like guru figure. And then she'll be a little bit goofy and then she'll be a little silly, but then back to a guru. So it's like, she's playing with all the clown techniques, but you can tell when she speaks that she has a very deep wisdom to her. And, she's every show she's learning how to create the show. It's really difficult to, on the fly, someone says something, you come with me, create a theatrical piece that's entertaining for everybody that will be done within 5 minutes and can move on to the next person. What a bold act as a clown.
That's amazing.
Dance, I think it's the show only a promoting Mel can do. Yeah, it feels like a good promoting Mel type of show.
Here's the thing. I'm going back and forth between melancholic and phlegmatic with her, especially now that I know that Vigo is choleric, but you know what? We'll get our answer for this for sure, because she's incredibly sweet, and like that's one thing that's unwavering about her.
That's amazing. I really want to meet her.
Yeah.
Well, next week we're gonna have Peretz on, which I'm really really excited.
We're gonna
have
a bunch of Peretz on. Oh my god, I've always wanted to talk to.
A ton of Peretz.
Well, good night.
I got to touch base with him, and I'm so excited to talk with him. Like him and I talked about parenting. You know, one time Rodrigo and I went over for a Shabbat dinner to Peretz and his family's house, which was a beautiful evening. And you were speaking.
We thought
to him.
We were going to be there like for an hour, and we stayed like the whole night.
And you helped shed some light on first of all his wife's biotype as well as his son's biotype. He's got one choleric son, in a field of phlegmatics. And when I spoke with him, he was telling me about how he is parenting that choleric son, and it is phenomenal.
Oh, I want to hear everything.
He's having some huge realization because I gifted him the biotype basics, right?
Nice.
And the best thing that you can do when I gift you the biotype basics is fucking take the course. I'm so, like, I've had a couple people that I've gifted it to and they haven't finished it, and nothing makes me more upset. But he finished it and he's been integrating it into his life. So when we're speaking, he's like having these realizations, and we'll dive more into it next week with him. But regarding the
Jewish
community, he's a smart
man. It doesn't surprise me that he picked it up immediately.
Oh, it's incredible. And he talking to me about sanguine relationships with cholerics and the way he articulates it, Rodrigo, I'm very excited for you to hear this.
Oh, I want to hear it. Really want to hear
so
it.
It's gonna
and
be a
being
great
a rabbi that actually knows this, he is like Rabbi 2.0.
Oh, he's like Rabbi 3.0. He's going to talk about what he's been exploring and what he's been going through this past year, because it's really been wild. But
wow.
I think understanding his biotype has really up-leveled him, and understanding the biotypes of the people around him has up-leveled him in a crazy way.
I really want to hear it.
So stoked about that.
Every person in mental health and spirituality should know this.
Yeah. Agreed. And I also want to give a shout out to Teresa Martino, our certification director.
We love Teresa.
We put our heads together and we have our coaching curriculum 2.0, right? And we just got the opportunity to present that to some of our general certification grads. And our coaching program at this point, like my jaw hit the floor when I step back and when I look at this curriculum that we built. It is so fucking thorough. And when I think about the people that have already gone through BYB with our coaches and have gotten to experience that,
the grades they get,
the grades, the reviews that the coaches are getting on the other side of these 6 week courses, I'm absolutely thrilled. I won't give a date publicly on when we're going to launch it, but I will say we have 38 people on our wait list for BYB, and we're going to be doing them in cohorts. So if you're interested in BYB, put your name on that wait list. It's going to be a first come, first serve as we get more of these coaches ready. But I'm so, so, so proud of our coaches. And one thing that we will do is we will have our coaches on the podcast as guests. So you can get to know our RGP development certified coaches. And they will be available for private sessions, and they will be available for BYB coaching as well. So we've got a lot coming your way in the RGP development and the workshops. Oh my God, we're getting the workshops edited. It's phenomenal.
We have 5 workshops like locked and loaded.
Yeah. So you guys are here at a very exciting time for RGP development.
Honestly, maybe a lot of people haven't like seen us being so present with Biotype Basics and things like that, but it has to do with everything else that we've been building. We have almost 40 people going to the coaching certification in Mexico in RGP development, which is amazing too. But the feedback that we're getting, not only from the coaches that already got certified, but they're asking where the wait list is.
Waitlist is available on rgpdevelopment.com/BYB, I'm pretty sure. I keep talking wrong. I'm going to get the exact
And you can finally do it no matter where you are, Malik, so we're really happy about that and in your own time. But the feedback that we've been getting from people that have experienced our coaches is mind-blowing. And yesterday I had a session with one of the people that are about to get certified in Mexico, hopefully. And I didn't know this, but this girl is one of the psychologists that's going through this. Remember, psychologist in Mexico doesn't mean PhD. It just means they have a bachelor degree in psychology. But she's a clinical psychologist. She has spent probably close to $50,000 on coaching certifications just to like find the right one and find the right way, et cetera, et cetera. And yesterday she was telling me, like, I'm never spending another dollar on anything that has to do with psychology or coaching because I finally got it through your program. Like, what you guys have built is mind-blowing. You're such a contribution to the world. And I just wanted to cry my eyes out as soon as I heard that. Especially coming from people that, like, are in mental health, have degrees in psychology, and we're giving them a path to actually get to people extremely fast and support people in an extremely fast way. People shouldn't be addicted to therapy. People should get the tools, figure out what, like, who they are and what they need for the rest of their life, and then just keep going. And then if you want to come back every 6 months, like many of our students, just to recalibrate and remember where you are, et cetera, you can, just to reconnect to the source, that's it. But you're a self-healing, functioning human being when once you're balanced. We teach our coaches how to understand someone where they're at, to understand their biotype and their personality, to teach them how to use their biotype the right way, to handle their beliefs, and then to balance out. It's mind-blowing. Like, we never thought this was going to work 100% of the times, but literally, like, our coaches, once certified, their reviews are amazing. Like, they're flying colors every time. I love that.
So the link is actually in our link tree on our Instagram page. You'll see it's a BYB waitlist link. I posted it here in the chat. And Dan, I'm going to get it to you so you can also post it in the show notes on this episode as well. Okay, great. So it'll also be available in the show notes for this episode as well. I think that's it for this week, guys. We can, we'll put this one out to the full feed next week. Come back. We've got parrots. We've got a good stuff lined up here, and then we'll, of course, be doing a listener question episode coming up soon.
We love you guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What was that Borat noise in the end?